typically come out fire.
Enter Jerome Allen, injecting the squad with energy and trying to reestablish the red and blue brand of basketball. Rosen penetrates, comes to the hole, the finger roll falls for Zach Rosen. Here's a turnover, Belcourt to the rack, fail the finish for Rob Belcourt. Darren Smith driving far right, spins away from Barber for three, buries it from beyond. Does Darren Smith, it's picked off, Eggleston to the rim, rocks it for a game-tying jam.
University of Pennsylvania men's basketball is on the air. 2010-2011 Penn men's basketball on the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Market is presented by Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper and some fun. Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn, look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. PICO, we put our energy into you. Now courtside with the call, former Penn Center, three-time Quaker letter winner, Vince Curran, and the play-by-play voice of Penn men's basketball, Brian Seltzer.
As the Penn Quakers calendar turns from November to December, the red and blue find themselves in a pretty solid spot, 500 at 3-3. Today, the start of a challenging stretch for the squad. Six of its next seven games off campus. And up first, the undercard of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic, battling the Army Black Knights. With that, from the Izod Center, capacity 20,029 at the Meadowlands Sports Complex in East Rutherford, New Jersey. This is Penn Men's Basketball. Good morning. Rise and shine with the red and blue. Along with our studio coordinator, Betsy Deming, my name is Brian Seltzer. My partner, the Min Man, Vince Curran, back in the saddle.
Back again. In an Eminem song like that, guess who's back?
Yeah.
Back again.
I think you're onto something.
Min Man's back.
I think those were his friends.
Brian Seltzer, Brian.
That's right. It was Brian. The Penn Quakers, 3-3 overall this season. They are 0-2 in games outside of the University City District. And they are led by the John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball here at Penn, Jerome Allen, the Red and Blues foe today, the Army Black Knights out of the Patriot League, the Cadets sporting a winning record of 4-3, 2-2 outside of West Point, and their coach is a familiar name and a familiar face in terms of within the Ivy League, Zach Spiker, a former assistant under Penn former assistant Steve Donahue at Cornell. Spiker in his second season at Army, 18-18 overall with the Cadets. Vin Man, the Penn Quakers, coming off of a nice win, largest win of the season on Tuesday night, hosting University of Maryland Baltimore County, besting the Retrievers by a final score of 71-59. Mentioned that the Quakes will not have the luxury of playing on their home hardwood for the better part of the next month and a half, so a nice Patriot League opponent coming up today to begin that run. More on the pregame after this from Elgin Sports. It's Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Quakers fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
Imagine two men almost identical in every way. Their names are Josh
and Josh.
They're both 5'10" and wear the same blue sneakers.
But this Josh has the brand new BlackBerry Torch, only from AT&T.
And this Josh doesn't.
So this Josh can type emails on a brilliant touchscreen of the famous BlackBerry keyboard. He sees his favorite sports websites displayed in their full glory and has Facebook and Twitter on the same screen.
This Josh has no idea that any of those things are even possible. Which means even though they both master the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, in a contest of Josh's, it's easy to see which Josh is actually the better Josh.
AT&T and BlackBerry have teamed up to evolve the smartphone, BlackBerry Torch, now just $99.99. A brilliant touchscreen, full web, Facebook, and Twitter on a single screen, all working seamlessly with the BlackBerry keyboard and available in three colors, red, white, and black. Only from AT&T. Rethink possible.
Your voice agreement starting at $39.99 and minimum $15 monthly data plan required. Other charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
amidst the swamplands and marshes of northern New Jersey, just off of I-95. Here lies the Izod Center, formerly the home of the New Jersey Nets for the NBA, the New Jersey Devils of the NHL, but this facility has not hosted a basketball game since the end of the 2010 regular season for the New Jersey Nets.
This game will probably have more in attendance than that game did for the end of the Nets.
You might be right.
Illustrious tender here. Tenure, not tender.
The Penn Quakers at 3-3. The Army Black Knights 4-3. The first game as a part of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic today. And the highlight matchup later on this afternoon, a quarter after 3, a rematch of the 2010 National Championship game.
Stop.
In Division One basketball.
Who cares?
What's that team again, man? The Duke Blue Devils.
Oh,
no,
that's
who cares?
Right.
Yeah, the number one team in the nation.
About that. It's like Joe Altamonte trying to talk to me about the Villanova games when we broadcast the game where you were out gallivanting around the world. We don't care about what goes on at Villanova. We don't care about what happens. Actually, we do care about Villanova. But we really don't care about what goes on with Duke and Butler. This is a Penn broadcast.
We do care about the Quakes, Ben Man, and for Penn the last two games, a top performer on the offensive side, red and blue rookie Miles Cartwright. 22 points is what he dropped at Pitt a week ago at the Peterson Event Center. He followed it up with a 19-point performance on Tuesday night versus UMBC. You surprised that this early on in his Quaker career he's been able to contribute at the level that he has?
Well, I don't know if surprised is the right word, but you know, pleased would be, you know, it would be something that you'd say. You're looking for somebody to take some of that scoring burden off of Zach Rosen, who had to score so much last year that by the end of it you could see he was dragging a little bit. So this is a luxury for Jerome Allen to have and say, okay, well, gosh, I got another option. I got a guy who gets out, flex balls on the perimeter, gets some easy buckets in transition, can get into the middle of the lane and create his own shot, and doesn't really show any of that freshman hesitation or fear when the shots present themselves in the offense. So that is something that I think is a tremendous positive.
What type of tone, pace, dimension would you expect this game to take on today? The Quakers confronting a service academy in the United States military.
Well, every time you play one of the service academies, you know you're going to come out of it battered and bruised, and you know that you will have been in a battle. Zach Spiker learned how to coach under Steve Donahue, so you know this team is going to run good stuff, and they will be well-disciplined. From a skill level, you would think the 10 would have a little bit more in the skill position, and you hope that that plays itself out. Penn's going to need to kind of get off the bus, start their intensity from the time they walk on the court. They're not going to, if they wait around, it's going to be 12-0 before you know it. If they don't come out ready to go right away, Penn could be in trouble. But I fully expect them to come out and really get after it early and try and use some of that skill to their advantage.
Following an early morning team breakfast at the Great Smoky Joe's up on good old 40th Street.
They caught you as you were leaving, huh, Stuffy?
No, sir. I came up and rolled you out of the beer cooler
just to make sure that everything was safe and stretched here with the equipment at the Izod Center. But the Penn Quakers boarded the team bus and headed up I-95. It's head coach Jerome Allen trying to get Penn above 500 for the second time this season.
Busy day on 95. The Arlington Currents are on their way from Washington to Gladwin to visit their grandfather. Sean,
excellent.
Dennis and Drew in the car going to visit their sick grandfather. Actually, not sick. He's better now, but, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's a little time for travel, time for seeing some family, and time for getting out and winning a couple basketball games.
And cozying on up right next to your transistor radio and tuning into the good old Penn Sports Network.
Transistor radio, really?
Right. Earlier this morning, my partner Vince Curran had a chance to chat with the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball here at Penn, Jerome Allen, about the previous Penn win on Tuesday night versus UMBC and this afternoon's game upcoming.
For the Army Black Knights today, coached by former Cornell assistant Zach Spiker. Take a look back at your team, though, as we go through the first six games. You're at 500. Probably the one that got away is Manhattan, but hey, that's kind of old news. How do you evaluate the team after the six-game stretch coming out of it at 3-3?
Well, I'll keep saying it, you know, the same thing. I think we've done some good things. I think we've done some not-so-good things. And our record is that an indication of, you know, where we are in terms of how good we can be. You know, I'm not really sure because
you know, in my mind, we play six ball games. You know, mentally as a staff, we try to prepare the guys to win every game. And having said that, I know we, that's a difficult task, but you know, I just think that if we hold on to our principles on a consistent basis, you know, we could win, you know, any game on our schedule. So, all in all, you know, I think, you know, we have a lot of work ahead of us. I'm pleased with some things. Some things I'm not happy with, and I just want us to get better.
One of the people you have to be pleased with is the play of freshman Miles Cartwright. I know he left the game against UMBC on Tuesday night. What is his status with that Charlie horse? Is he going to be able to go today?
Yeah, well, we tried to rest him the past couple of days and really try to focus on, you know, him just giving treatment on his body and his injury. And, you know, he's playing a significant role, you know, for the team, and you know, try not to put so much pressure on a freshman, but, you know, he's somehow, he's accepted the challenges, and you know, he's done it well.
Accepted the challenges, and really it looks like he has provided you another score. You obviously get a pretty good feel of what you're going to get from Zach Rosen, what you're going to get from Jack Eggleston, and I think, you know, a pleasant addition in Miles Cartwright giving you that third score. Two guys it seems like you really need to get going, at least offensively, Rob Belcourt and Tyler Bernardini. Have you looked at any ways to possibly get them into the flow a little bit or get their confidence up?
Well, we would like to tell them that, you know, the best way to get involved in offensive end is to step in your defensive contribution up in terms of, we're getting some skills here now, getting a couple easy baskets, you know, making sure we hold on to our principles, no middle, helping out in the defensive boards, so we can get out and run. We can get out and run and get some easy baskets, and, you know, things will come a lot easier on the offensive end. But, I'm not necessarily worried about those guys, really contributing on the offensive end, more so as I am defensively. And if we become a better defensive team, it'll be a direct result of their commitment, as well as others.
Today begins a stretch where you play six of the next seven games off campus. What kind of challenges does that present for you, especially with, you know, you got a couple guys that are new to their roles and trying to really round into the team concept?
Well, playing on the road, you know, tells you a lot about, you know, the team's identity and how we, you know, hold, you know, come together and really just try to play for ourselves when you're either A, in a hostile environment, or B, just, you know, playing in, you know, other teams' surroundings. So, you know, for us, we're, you know, fairly balanced team in terms of, you know, veteran leadership and youth. It's going to be really important that, you know, we get off to a good start, we take care of the ball, you know, defend, don't get into foul trouble, because it's something that you have to learn how to win on the road. It's not going to come, you know, easily. And, I think our veteran players, you know, have enough experience with everything, you know, they can kind of pull it through.
An opportunity for the Penn Quakers, led by Jerome Allen, to create some character this afternoon. In about 90 seconds time, the red and blue at 3-3 overall this season, tipping off with the Army Black Knights with a record of 4-3. The Knights, coached by Zach Spiker, a former assistant under former Penn assistant Steve Donahue at Cornell. His starting five goes as follows. Jason Panko is the point man, 6 feet 1 inch tall, 164 pounds, a sophomore guard from Ladera Ranch in California. Joyan Simmons is the shooting guard, a 5 foot 11 inch tall, 187 pound junior out of Katy, Texas. Jeremy Hetz, the small forward, 6 feet 3 inches tall, 205 pounds, a senior from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Ella Ellis, nice alliteration there, 6 feet 5 inches tall, 187 pounds, the sophomore.
Sounds like a Rihanna tune.
You're right.
Ella, Ella, A, A, A.
A sophomore power forward from Houston, Texas. And rounding out Zach Spiker's starting five, Jordan Springer, the 6 foot 6 inch tall, 220 pound sophomore center from Charlotte, North Carolina. The Penn Quakers, under the watch of Jerome Allen, in position potentially today for the 10th victory of his head coaching career with the Red and Blue, 9-18 overall in a season and a half.
Trying to get into double digits, huh?
That's right, Vin Man. Trying to reach double digits. Zach Rosen will be the starting point guard at 6 foot, 1 inch tall, 175 pounds, the pride of Colonia, New Jersey, out of nearby St. Benedict's Prep. Tyler Bernardini, 6 feet, 6 inches tall, 205 pounds, a senior shooting guard from Carlsbad, California. Rob Belcour is the 6 foot, 6 inch tall, 215-pound junior small forward from Lake Forest, Illinois. The power forward will be senior Jack Eggleston, 6 feet, 8 inches tall, 215 pounds, currently ranked 8th in the Ivy League in points per game. And for the first time in now 7 games this season, Jerome Allen will reconfigure his starting 5, and he will go with Connor Turley at the center spot, 6 feet, 7 inches tall, 220 pounds, a senior tri-captain out of La Cañada, California, and Cannibal Hall, Connor Turley's in there, coming off of a very encouraging effort on Tuesday versus UMBC, a season-high 11-point performance, 3 of 4 from the floor, and 5 of 8 from the free throw line.
Connor Turley, a guy that gives you a lot of energy, a little physical presence, and I think Jerome Allen's not thrilled with Andreas Schreiber's defensive efforts and just trying to change it up, mix it up a little bit and see if that new lineup can pay some dividends.
A neutral site for the 33rd meeting between Penn and Army, just the second time these two teams have kicked off since 1956.
It may be a neutral site for you, Celci. This is the greatest arena in the world for yours truly.
Why is that, man?
Because, well, I proposed to my wife here, and she actually said yes. It would be the worst arena in the world.
Calling what, the Justin Timberlake show?
Yes, indeed. Front row for Justin Timberlake, somewhere in the swamps of Jersey. Callie Alexander at the time said, I will marry you, Vince Perrin. So I am a big fan of the Meadowlands Sports Complex.
Just another stop along the Vidman Reality Tour. The Penn Quakers occupying the bench near sideline as we see it left side of the floor in their regular road in navy blue uniforms. Penn and white spelled out in black letters across the front. White numbers on the front and the back. Army, the Black Knights, in an off-gray silver-colored uniform, top and bottom with the jersey and shorts. Their numbers in black on the front and back. They are on the bench near sideline, right side of the floor. At the Izod Center, formerly Continental Airlines Arena, before that, Brendan Byrne Arena. A parquet-patterned hardwood here at the Izod Center, a comfortable 45 degrees.
So Brendan Byrne used to do the New Jersey and You Perfect Together commercials. I sound like Brendan Byrne, sound like, not Alistair Cook, but one of those old actors. But wasn't that Brendan Byrne before your time, Celci? Asking the wrong guy.
All I know is David Byrne.
80-year-old guy in front of me, he probably would know.
The officiating crew for game number one of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic is comprised of Clarence Armstrong, Doug Hopper, and Bob Testa.
Clarence Armstrong, my old AAU teammate.
That's right.
Clarence and I have a few stories about one another, so let's just leave it at that, Celci.
On the left side of the Meadowlands logo, Jack Eggleston at 6 feet 8 inches tall. On the opposite side of that, Jordan Springer at 6'6". Armstrong with the ball in his right hand, the toss and the tip. It is taken by Connor Turley and Penn, operating the offense from left to right in the front corner.
Nice to see Tyler Bernardini get involved early, maybe get a jumper to fall. It's something in transition where you can just see stuff go in the basket.
Eggleston near right block, kick out top yard, Bernardini short off the iron on a three, tap out by Turley to Tyler. Fresh 35 for the Quakes.
Well, my thought process was right. Inside, out, goes to Bernardini, who's wide open from three, just not able to knock it down. But nice to see Jerome Allen trying to get his shooting guard involved in the offense.
21 seconds on the shot clock. Near right low post, Turley patiently waiting, fighting inside, feeding far left. Rosenhoist for three, can't hit. Rebound into the hands of Ella Ellis averaging 4.7 boards per game. Army has lost two consecutive outings at Yale and at home versus Buffalo on Wednesday night.
Two good shots for Penn early. Both three-pointers. Let me see if they can get something going at the basket.
Simmons, a teardrop runner, splashes home near left side of the lane. And a minute, 8 seconds in, Army on top, 2-0.
One of the things that Penn often does is they get into that three-point rut. And you see Penn takes 2 3-pointers. They don't go. Army gets something going at the basket. Gets the teardrop to drop. and inexplicably doubling Connor Turley in the low post early and make him show you something before you do that. I disagree with that move by Zach Spiker.
14 on the shot clock. Rosen under the arc far left going baseline, reversing right. He ties it up even at a deuce.
And it starts.
ESPN. Philadelphia.
First they called you Mikey. Then you got a little older and they called you Michael. After that, you were just Mike. Except for a brief period in college when they called you MC Mikey.
Yeah, boy.
Well, now they call you Dad, which may explain a few of those gray hairs.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we know how life can change. That's why we have plans that are flexible and affordable, with choices you can customize.
Apologies for that little technical glitch. The Penn Quakers and Army Black Knights tied up at two from the Izod Center. Army with the ball from right to left in the front court. Springer top the arc, fronted there by Connor Turley. 11 seconds on the shot clock for the Black Knights. Far right wing, it's Hess behind the back dribble with the right hand. Runner off balance, sticking with it and delivering two.
Decent possession, though, by Penn. Hess at the end of the shot clock has to throw up a wild one over Bernardini. Able to bank it home. Jack Rosen kind of tries to cut off the drive. He doesn't quite get there, and that's why Hens is able to get all the way to the basket.
Army puts up points, averaging 71 per game, second in the 18 Patriot League Conference. Bernardini under the arc near right, top of the key, Eggleston, dangerous handoff to Rosen, who takes it far left. 9-2, Bernardini pulls the trigger near right, and it's a three, offensive rebound, Eggleston. Fresh shot clock for the Quakers.
Not going to get a better shot than that for Tyler Bernardini. Penn collapses the D. Tyler just not able to knock it down.
Eggleston fails to hit the three. A tap out by Belcour. Rosen a free lane near right. The finger roll falls on four of Penn's points to Zach Rosen. Timeout on the floor taken by Zach Spiker and the Cadets even at four.
Actually,
16:48 to go in the first.
Jerome Allen takes that timeout. He is not happy, I think, with the defensive rotation on the other end. And the easy shots that Penn misses. But Penn, you got to give them a little credit for the consistent effort going after it on the offensive boards, an area where they have struggled a little bit this year. But Jerome Allen giving it to his team in the locker, excuse me, in the huddle right now.
Zach Spiker's second go-round with the Army Cadets in terms of being the program's head coach. Got the squad out to a remarkable 9-2 start the previous season after Spiker took over the program on October the 3rd, 2009. That was just 4 days prior to his 33rd birthday and only 40 days before the start of the 2009-2010 Division I basketball season. Army with the ball, left-right front court, silver-gray home uniforms. They are the home team in this neutral site game. At the top of the arc, Panko. Converted to a point guard during the preseason, hence under the arc far right. Almost picked up his left pivot. Backdoor cut far left baseline. Hence handing off to Springer. Swatted denied by Turley. A block for Penn. They get the ball back tied at four.
Great defensive rotation by Connor Turley to cut off the driver, and then everybody else kind of rotated back to help him out. Very good team defense in that possession by Penn.
Caroline Rosen far left in the alley to Rob Belcour, shut out the previous game. Top of the arc, Rosen looking for an inside opportunity. Near right baseline toss to Turley. He tacks two on the board with a jump shot from 10 feet away. 6-4 Quakers.
Good ball movement. Nice drive and dip by Zach Rosen. And Connor Turley paying early dividends for Jerome Allen.
Simmons near left baseline. An air ball and a foul in the lane committed. First foul of the afternoon, 15:44 to go in the opening half, 10 leading Army, 6-4 in game number one of the Carquest Auto Parts Classic from the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. From Elegant Sports, it's Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN. It is the Penn Sports Network.
First they called you Mikey, then you got a little older and they called you Michael. After that, you were just Mike. Except for a brief period in college when they called you MC Mikey.
Yeah, boy.
Well, now they call you Dad, which may explain a few of those gray hairs.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we know how life can change. That's why we have plans that are flexible and affordable, with choices you can customize, so you pay for what you need and not for what you don't. In fact, we have plans as low as $75 a month. To learn more, go to plansthatfit.com. There you'll find all the tools you need to choose a plan that fits you and your budget. You'll even find handy tools like our online personal health record and a treatment cost estimator. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Plans underwritten by CCC Insurance Company and Keystone Health Plan, a subsidiary of Independence Blue Cross, independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
Good fans, the next time you're visiting the West or anywhere else on campus for that matter, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, located at 3818 Chestnut Street, right on the corner of 38th and Chestnut. Abner's Cheesesteaks, some of the best cheesesteaks in Philly. The Penn Quakers, the swampland of East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Did you go back with the swampland thing again?
The people in New Jersey are going to think that the whole state is a swamp, by the way you're describing it. Just this area and region right before you get to the George Washington Bridge, about 10 miles from the Meadowlands Sports Complex, right across the Hudson River from Manhattan. Miles Cartwright subbing in for the first time for Penn, which leads 6-4, 15:38 to go in the opening half against Army. Also on the court, Parquet Pattern, Bernardini, Eggleston, Turley, and Rosen. Near right in the alley, right in front of Army's bench, Rosen to the baseline he goes with 16 to shoot. Far left corner, Cartwright thinking three, looking underneath Eggleston. Ball deflected, tapped out of bounds. Far left baseline by C.J. McKellar, who just subbed in for Zach Spiker and Army.
So you can get Miles Cartwright in, and he actually initiates the offense there, so taking Zach Rosen off the ball in an effort to get a couple things run for him offensively.
Shot clock only at 8. Far left, Rosen down to the top of the arc. 5 to shoot. Rosen in the lane. Step back from 14 off the back of the iron. No good. And a rebound for Mitch McDonald.
Thank you.
We got apologies for the technical difficulties from the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Penn trailing Army 10-8, what you missed while we were off the air. A two-point runner by Tyler Bernardini for the Red and Blue, and a pair of three-pointers for Army. Julian Simmons most recently, Chris Welker before that. Penn with the ball left, right in the front court. Rose in the foul line with 33 to shoot. Takes the far left side of the lane, backs it out to Eggleston. Near on the lane, Cartwright in front of the Army bench. Eggleston on the perimeter. The Quakers can't get anything going inside. Bernardini hoists for three, unable to hit top of the key. A rebound fought for and secured for the Army Black Knights. And the big center, Andrew Steyer, back the other way. A foul called against the Quakers, the club's second team foul. Army has three.
Good probing drive that time by Miles Cartwright. Gets to the elbow, draws two defenders. Kicks to Tyler Bernardini, wide open again. Just unfortunately not able to knock one down. And Army goes in transition.
Three in the lane, wide open in the key for two. Chris Welker, the feed coming in from atop the arc. 12-8, Army, its largest lead by four. 12:43 to go in the first.
Back screen off an inbounds play, and Tyler Bernardini gives the signal like he thought that they were going to switch on that. They do not. Tyler's man gets the easy layup.
Foul called against the Red and Blue on the offensive possession, so an untimely moment.
Gotta be kidding me.
Trailing by four to give the ball back to Army.
The second illegal screen they've called in six possessions for Penn. That's just horrible. Let them play a little bit.
Hanko near the left high post, handing off to Hentz across the floor. Far right, three for three. Welker unable to drop it in. Board bounces in the palms of Jack Eggleston. The Quakers seem a little bit lost defensively. Rose on left side of the lane, kick out, Cartwright near right for three, short off the iron. Rebound free, far left side of the lane, and it's secured by the Cadets.
Three Penn players get hands on that offensive rebound opportunity, none of them able to come down with it. So Army comes back in the other direction.
Far right wing, Simmons, blanketed by Cartwright, who reaches in with the right hand. It'll be the fifth team foul against Penn.
So my man with the comb over wants to use his little bottle. That's the third one in a row that he's been a nickel dimer.
11:55, we go in the opening half from the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Timeout on the floor, the score, Army on top of Penn, by four, 12-8. Maligan Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliate. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Hey, I'm the old fridge that used to live in your kitchen. You upgraded and I got relegated to the basement. Totally insulting, by the way. My revenge? I'm wasting about $150 a year. So there.
Get rid of your old refrigerator. With PECO Smart Appliance Recycling, we'll pick it up and give you $35. PECO, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For eligibility and savings details, visit PECO.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PECO-SAVE.
Thank the following corporate partners for their continued support of Penn's Varsity Athletics program. Abner's Cheesesteaks, 38th and Chestnut Street, some of the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday. Pepper in with some fun. Comcast Sportsnet, nobody does Philly College Hoops better. Holiday and Historic District, your next day in Philadelphia. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, here for you every step of the way. Kindred Healthcare, Kindred Hospitals, dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. And PECO, putting their energy into you.
And you've taken care of all the business that you needed to take care of.
Yes,
New Jersey and you, perfect together. Tom King.
Outstanding.
Got that one from my grandpa, my father, who is on convalescing right now. So at least somebody's listening to us out there, Celtics.
Penn behind 12-8, 11:51 to go in the first half. Simmons down low, right low post. Losing it is Welker, and the Quakers and Jack Eggleston come up with it.
Give Zach Rosen credit for a blocked shot right there. Looked like it was going to be a dunk, and Rosen was going to get it done.
Ow! And the finish as he called his way through the key. 10 within 2, 12 to 10, and Zach Rosen an opportunity for one more as he will head to the free throw line.
Look to see Zach Rosen playing a little bit more aggressively offensively. Only a couple buckets the other night against UMBC, did most of his work from the free throw line. You can see he is trying to get after it early in this game. I think he likes North Jersey stuff.
Not able to hit that free throw. His eighth miss from the line in 28 tries this season. So it remains 12 to 10. Army pull up near left high post. Pamco can't punch it in. With the pull, Fran Doherty and the officiating crew and Clarence Armstrong calls a brief timeout as it looks like Franny Dock, the rookie out of Archbishop Wood, came down a little bit awkwardly on that right ankle. He flashes a little bit of a grimace on the face, but walks off the pain. The Quakers will have possession left to right going into the front court in the road navy blue unis. Miles Cartwright running the point for Penn, far left on the wing. Underneath Eggleston, he was there. The pass deflected out of bounds.
That's a great down screen, does Jack Eggleston, trying to get Zach Rosen coming up, and then flips the screen right away. Miles Cartwright spots him. Let's see if he tips that for Army. I think if he gets that up, maybe a little more arc on that, maybe throws that to the rim, that's a bucket for Jack Eggleston.
Rob Belcour inbounding near right baseline to Rosen right in front of Zach Spiker's Army Black Knights bench. Rosen near right baseline drive with 17 to shoot. Eggleston near right wing behind the foul line to Belcour. Far left for three. Cartwright connects. Miles Cartwright notching his ninth three-pointer of the season. The Quakers shoot themselves in front by one, 13 to 12.
Rob Belcour attacks on the reversal right there and actually draws two Army defenders. Miles Cartwright ends up wide open.
Far right wing, Herbeck hits the three on the other end for Army. The Black Knights burying shots consistently from beyond the arc, Army by two.
Miles Cartwright looked like your boy Asante Samuel right there, Self. He looked like he was trying to jump the route. When he missed it, the wide open three for Army presented itself, and they had knocked it down again.
A somewhat fast-paced first half. Cartwright in the key, totally over the top, doesn't get the bounce. A tap cry by Eggleston won't fall. Cracking down the loose ball in the near corner is Ella Ellis, whistles blow, and a crime.
Jack Eggleston jumped the outlet pass, and they're saying it was off him out of bounds.
The Army Black Knights got out to a 4-1 start this season. Second straight year, the Black Knights have boasted a 4-1 record at the outset of their season. That hasn't happened since by the name of Mike Krzyzewski coached at West Point.
Oof.
Top of the arc, the three won't fall for Pamco. Offensive rebound, Springer. Far right, Allie Ellis pulls up baseline. Nothing but nylon on this seven-footer. 17-13, 9:48 to go. Army in front, matching its largest lead of the afternoon.
Penn had been pretty good throughout the first half so far of getting ending possessions. And that time, give up the easy offensive rebound.
Eggleston, far left baseline, jumper, can't get the bounce, battle for the loose ball, the board belongs to the Black Knights, back the other way, from right to left. Pamco averaging 7.9 points per game, second in the Patriot League, and assists per game, hands off to Ellis, far right corner toss to Kincaid, but a whistle blows against the Black Knights, an offensive foul, fifth team foul. Stopping the game clock, 9:16 to go. In the opening half, Andreas Schreiber removed from the Red and Blue starting five for the first time this season. Penn now it's in its seventh game as Connor Turley comes out. Andreas Schreiber at 6'9", 245, now serving as the center.
And Fran Doherty down, seeing Phil Samko. I think he just got that ankle rewrapped, tightened it up. Well, Andreas Schreiber going to get a chance with Fran Doherty out for the short term. To see if he can do anything.
Who takes those ankles better than our pal Phil?
Philip Samko.
Backdoor cut, Rosen fall at baseline. No, and dropping in the follow for two on the miss. Andreas Schreiber. Nice instant energy off the bench. Penn within two, 17-15. At the foul line the other way, Belcourt strips Kincaid. holds on to the ball. The Quakers will take their time, bring it in the front court.
That's just really good position defense by Rob Belcourt that time, as Army Mitch McDonald tries to jump the pass to Zach Rosen on the wing, knocks it out of bounds. Quakers maintain possession. But Rob Belcourt really moving his feet and staying in front creates the steal on the other end.
Cartwright out, Bernardini back in. Rosen drifting far left, 22 to shoot. Schreiber at the foul line, pump fake, put to the hands of Belcourt near right on the wing. Penn down by two, can tie or take over the field goal. This fires for three, just above the arc. 20-15 is the score. Once again, your patience very much appreciated as we work through the line issues. A three-pointer went down for Jeremy Hentz of Army. 20-15 is the score.
Hentz, a five-point lead, Brian.
Very well put, sir.
Thank you very much. And you know what the funny thing is, as we sit here and encounter technical difficulty after technical difficulty here at the old Brendan Burnery, just knock it down. Do like they did with the
yeah.
Get rid of it because it's not. The great thing is we have the TV here that's supposed to give you the game feed. And at the spot for the other broadcast, they're getting game feed. I've got Dora the Explorer. And we went from that to some cat. We had two cats and two pigs. So, and now the worm. Willie the worm.
7:35 to go in the first. Time on the floor of the score. Army on top of 10, 20-15. 10 fans. Reminder that for the 2010-2011 men's basketball season, you can receive a $4 off discount on up. Have to do is enter the promotional code SHOPRITE10. That's SHOPRITE and the number 10. Fans can also present a ShopRite Price Plus club card at the ticket office to get $4 off on an upper end court ticket for the select games. This special promo code will run during this entire season's men's basketball line. Brought to you by ShopRite, one place, your place. The place this afternoon, East Rutherford, New Jersey, the Izod Center. Former home of the New Jersey Nets and New Jersey Devils, who have since moved to the Prudential Center in downtown Newark, New Jersey.
Not a swamp there, though, right?
That's a little bit more of a budding
metropolis.
Metropolis, yes, man. The Quakers, Vince, they have had difficulty clamping down outside the arc. The Army Black Knights have been able to hit threes with regularity while the Red and Blue coming up empty from the outside.
And 0-for-6 right now from three-point range. Army 4-for-7, so something that Jerome Allen definitely needs to make the adjustment on. Has Rob Belcourt back out there, probably 10's best perimeter defender.
They try for another three. Herbeck has it go in and out, no good. Rebound recorded by Cartwright.
And Cornell, I was about to say, Army looks a lot like Cornell in that drive and kick type offense. And now the third illegal screen call. I want to get this guy to do the Princeton game, because there's no team that screens illegally more than Princeton. And it's the same guy that's made the call three times. So he must have got up, read his referee rule book this morning, and said, I think I'm going to call the illegal screen today.
Sixth team foul against the Penn Quakers. Facing
joke, by the way. That call three times in one half is a freaking joke.
Penn facing its largest deficit of the early afternoon, 20-15, 7:04 to go in the first. In the lane, the runner does not fall. for Panko, a little bit too strong, snagging the loose ball rebound Bernardini. Rosen back to the way. Quakers in the road, navy blue uniforms from left to right in the front court. Schreiber, far left baseline, draws a double team and also draws a foul.
He gets bailed out right there. He gets the ball in the post, and the right, instead of either making a definitive offensive move or swinging the ball to the opposite wing, which was the right play right there, he invites the double team, and then by the time he reacts to it, he's getting pushed away. He gets bailed out because of the foul call. Something that Fran Dossany does well. When the ball goes into him, he is decisive with it. Andre Schreiber needs to be much more decisive right there.
Far left corner along the baseline, Cartwright lobs it into Rosen at the CarQuest Auto Classic logo on the Izod center court. Near right wing, Rosen, 24 to shoot. Zach straddles the arc, tiptoes towards the top of the key. Far left wing, Bernardini back to Cartwright, far left corner. Miles misfires on the three, around the rim and out. Rebound, Black Knight. Panko, left side of the lane, an awkward shot batted by Rosen towards Bernardini. Sprawling for the ball near right sideline at the timeline. It was Herbeck for Army. He was the last to touch it as his backside split off the court over the sideline out of bounds.
Good no call there by Bob Sessa. It looked like Zach Spiker really wanted Tyler Bernardini for a pushing foul as that loose ball is out near half court. No call. Penn gets the ball. They got one right, Chelsea. Quake them when they get it wrong. I'm going to praise them when they get it right.
Quakers have taken 21 shots. Only 7 have gone down for the red and blue. Away from the play, Andreas Schreiber in the lane is whistled for the foul, the 7th team foul against Penn. And that is the 2nd for Dre. And Vince, Dre has come off the bench and offensively given Penn points here and there at spots throughout this 7-game run so far early on in the season, but has not been able to really stay on the floor because he's gotten in foul trouble.
He has struggled defensively, and you know, Penn needs him to be more of a physical presence rebounding, but he has not been able to stay out of foul trouble.
In the lane, Simmons, the right-handed foot beneath the foul line, short off iron, rebound Turley back on the floor with Rosen, Bernardini, Belcourt, Cartwright, bump, and the bucket for Zach Rosen as he attempts to assert himself in man on the offensive side. That makes it 20-17, Penn down by 3. 5:41 to go in the first extra line.
And Zach Rosen really the only person getting anything done for Penn offensively right now. Now 4-for-8 with 8 points. The rest of the 10 team, 3-for-15. Obviously not going to get it done as Zach Rosen knocks down the 2nd free throw. And you like to see that in transition. Just try and get something easy. Try and get something going at the basket and struggling in the half court. And maybe it's the arena, but last I checked, 10 feet high, no matter where you're shooting. So it's like being outside.
Penn
really struggling from the field. And it's not like Army's locking them down either. I just want to point that out. It's not like there's pressure defense all up in the grill of the Penn players.
Army from right to left in the front court, 15 to shoot. Panko near left alley to Welker. Shot clock at 10. Panko deep in the middle of the floor, short off the iron for 3. Rebound Turley again. Rosen outletting Cartwright near right side of the lane. Bump. No bucket for Cartwright as Miles will head to the foul line. That is the 18th foul against Army. A chance for the Quakers to even this thing up to 20 should Cartwright's 2 shots fall.
And we talked about it in the open where Penn has an advantage is maybe a higher skill level, right? The Army kids are tough, they're disciplined, they're well-drilled. Not that Penn isn't, but if you look at it, you say, well, if Penn probably has a little bit of advantage with the getting out in transition, with some athleticism, and the last 2 times down the floor, they've really used that. Zach Rosen getting end-to-end for a 3-point play opportunity, which he converts, and then Miles Cartwright and Rosen at a 2-on-1. Cartwright doesn't get the layup, but is able to make the 2 free throws. Tie ball game, 20-20.
Big conversion for the Quakers there, who shot 28-36 from the foul line their previous game. Unscathed in the lane the other way. Carnivicious Kincaid to reestablish a 2-point lead for Army. 22-20, 4:51 to go in the first.
Carnivicious?
Then, man, guess how many points he had prior to this afternoon through 4 games in which he played?
0.
Well, close. 3.
He had 3, so it wasn't one that we really spent a whole lot of time making sure we had his name
pronounced correctly. Cartwright rises up near right. Can't drop in a deep three. Rebound into the hands of Kincaid. And, oh, yes, his first rebound of the season for the Black Knights.
We can just go with Kincaid from this point forward.
I kind of like Carnivicious.
You sure it's Carnivicious?
That's what I've been told by the Army personnel.
Fair enough.
18 to shoot for the Cadets. Right, left, front court. Ball deflected off the left. Front white sneaker of Rob Belcourt. It skids out of bounds. So Army will retain possession. 13 seconds on the shot clock. 4:12 to play in the opening half. Black Knights by two. Hanko, who's been trying to get his offense in a rhythm early on, now throws the ball away in the lane. He was looking for Springer underneath the rack. Hanko, usually very sure-handed in distributing the basketball. A little bit erratic so far this afternoon.
And that time it looked like he had the aforementioned Kincaid or Springer diving lane. One of the two bigs. Okay, it was Springer. Had him wide open on the screen and then the slip to the basket. And just kind of throws that hook pass over his head. Out of bounds. Penn gets possession, trailing 22-20.
Frozen, near right wing, right in front of the Cadets bench. Nice look underneath. Curly near right. Blocked by Steyer, who took a big swat. However, it will be ruled a foul against the Cadets, and free throws will be on the way for Connor Turley following this break. 3:46 to go in the opening half from Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Time out on the floor. The score, Army leading 10 by 2, 22-20 from Elegant Sports. 10-minute basketball on 950 ESPN, the 10 Sports Network.
There's one place for great basketball. That's with the Quakers. And there's one place for the best quality deli product. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli product. Available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear Deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or anytime, choose premium quality Black Bear Deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy Department and let us create fabulous Black Bear Deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers. Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
.346 to go in the first half at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, a neutral site. Penn Army, the 33rd meeting, Quakers behind 22-20. And one of the outstanding things about basketball in the city of Brotherly Love, it has such a great community feel to it, whether it be at the college level, the Big Five, and City Six, or with the pro team as well. And the Philadelphia basketball family lost a true institution, a Hall of Famer. Yesterday, Phil Jasner, the longtime beat writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, covering the Philadelphia 76ers, passing away at the age of 68. His son, Andy, a good friend of the program, covers a lot of Penn games at the Palestra, writing for the Associated Press. So certainly thoughts with the Jasner family. Just an awesome, awesome guy.
Yeah, you're right, Sophie. A great guy and a really, really great basketball mind. And Phil Jasner will be missed.
Connor Turley at the foul line. He is the right-handed shooting senior tri-captain with tape on his pinky and ring finger. Lays a brick on the first.
Connor Turley struggling from the line this year now, 11 for 23. Guy who shot it pretty well last year. You've got to think that tape may be affecting his ability to shoot the free throws right now as he knocks down the second for a one-point lead for Army.
The Cadets in silver home uniforms. They are the home squad. Army in black across the front from right, left, the front court. Hanko. Calling
like that
Connor Turley trying to get the hand in there and poke the ball free out of the hands of Hanko atop the arc. That'll be the ninth team foul against the Quakers.
And that's one of those that, regardless of whether it is a foul or not, it looks like a foul. Connor Turley reaching in instead of staying straight up and down. Gets the foul called by the officials. And now Panto, he's sitting on a goose egg at this point, correct, Selfie?
Indeed, Vinman, the right-handed shooting sophomore, unable to get the front end to go down, grabbing that rebound, Rob Belcour. So Penn, with a field goal, gets the lead back with 3:25 to go in the first. Bernardini calling out offensive orders far left. One bounce pass to Rosen with the right hand, non-dominant, dribbles the top of the arc. Switches left, spinning left high post. Nearly lost the ball, gets it back from Belcour. 10 seconds of the shot clock. Rosen at the Meadowlands logo in the center of the court. Drives the lane inside, flicks it Bernardini. The Quakers able to get a foul call against the Cadets, and one of their forwards, Julian Simmons, on that Rosen drive.
You see, Bernardini finally knocks down the three-point jumper and turns to Clarence Armstrong and says, I finally made one. You blow the whistle on that? He kind of puts his hands up in the air. So it's good for Bernardini to get one to go down. And Zach Rosen creates that by getting the ball to the basket. And a little stagnant offensively right there, especially with Connor Turley as the only post player being out on the perimeter trying to set screens. And a little donut action right there. A hole in the middle. All five players out on the perimeter. Very fortunate at the end of the shot clock right there. Something going at the basket.
You could hear a pin drop on the court at this 20,029 feet. Meadowlands Center Arena. Ooh, a very thin crowd as the southpaw shooting Rosen, the junior tri-captain, sinks his first to tie it up at 22. 3:02 to go in the opening half. The Quakers there.
He's out in the parking lot tailgating right now, right?
Might be right. The second one is good for Rosen. Penn back in front, 23-22. The Quakers had to really rely on free throw shooting down the stretch of the previous game on Tuesday. Penn's final 22 points from the free throw line. In the near left corner, Hitchcock unable to hit the three with the carom. Cartwright for the Quakers, running from left to right front court. Belcour blasting underneath for two as the Quakers surge ahead by three. 25-22 with 2:37 to go in the first.
Transition opportunities again. Brian Penn ending possessions defensively, and then Miles Cartwright doing what he does so well, getting end to end and finding a teammate for a bucket.
Hitchcock straddling the arc near left. Good pressure man-to-man D by Bernardini. Flung to the top of the arc to McDonald. McDonald makes his way far right side lane. In the corner, Simmons the step back. Oh, Cotton for Simmons. His second three-pointer levels it at 25 apiece with 2:10 to go in the first.
But not that Jerome Allen is willing to concede a bucket or anything like that, but if that's the bucket that Army gets, I think he'll take his chances. Pretty solid defensively. Rob Belcour challenges the shot. And the Army just makes a tough step back three-pointer.
Simmons, an Army best 21st three-pointer. Belcour near right baseline, feeding the lane, lost, picked up by McDonald, leading the charge. Numbers favoring 10 on the defensive end. Here is Herbeck, far right, baseline leader, contact, and the connection for Herbeck. Army shatters the 25-25 deadlock, a chance for one more point, leading by two with a minute 41 to go in the first.
And it's the old jump in to the defender coming off the baseline, foul call right there. Tough one. Who did they get on that? They get Cartwright?
I believe so.
Tough call for Cartwright. His second? That's his second, Brian. So Darren Smith going to come in for Miles Cartwright with 1:41 to go here in the first half.
Smith's fifth game of the season, rattling home the ensuing free throw. Herbeck, she has a total of 5 points on the afternoon. A timeout taken by Zach Spiker. And the Army Black Knights 28-25 with a minute 41 to go in the first. And then
right.
We talked a little bit earlier about how Zach Spiker, leading Army to back-to-back 4-1 starts the last two seasons, not accomplished. Mike Krzyzewski was on the sideline for 6 seasons at West Point, but think about the coaches.
4-1 starts are great, but all that matters is how you finish it.
Very true, man. But just a very neat lineage of head coaches at the United States Military Academy, beginning with Bob Knight, followed by Mike Krzyzewski, Dan Dougherty from Episcopal.
The great Dan Dougherty. He's probably the only one I like out of those three.
And, of course, the great Mike Krzyzewski and the Duke Blue Devils.
Stop. Why do you keep talking about them?
What's the storyline? And also, how about
a storyline?
How about the former John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball. And Fran Dunphy, an assistant.
All right.
Right on Fran Dunphy's stature.
On Dan Dunphy. Fran Dunphy's got a place for us.
Right. 25 on the shot clock for 10. 90 seconds to play in the first, trailing by three. In the lane, Rosen, an air ball. Left four and secured by Springer of the Black Knights. Army a chance to put a punctuation on the first stanza. Far left wing. Simmons, Alina with the right hand short off the rim. Tap out. A foul will be flagged against Springer of Army.
It's a horrible call. How do you make that call from 35 feet away with six guys in between Zach Rosen and Springer? Zach Rosen does a pretty decent job of boxing out. Springer's only crime right there is being taller than Zach Rosen.
Two shots coming for the Ivy League's leader in free throw shooting last year, Zach Rosen. He is 3-for-4 from the stripe this afternoon. Can't get the bounce on his first. It remains 28-25 with 74 seconds to go in the first. Rosen now on the year. 23 of 32 from the free throw line. He rattled in 12 points on Tuesday night versus UMBC. He gets one out of two, and that makes it a two-point game with 58 seconds to go in the first, 28-26 Cadets. In the near left alley, Kincaid covered by Bernardini, seeking a screen and a give-and-go back down to Springer. It deflects to Herbeck in the near left corner. 14 on the shot clock for Army. Left high post near wing Springer. Outside the arc near left McDonald. Kick out top of the arc. Simmons can't stroke the three. Long rebound out to Belcourt. 42 seconds to go in the first. There is an 8-second differential between the game and shot clock. Turley, foul line, takes a few steps, switches hands with the dribble, and gets the bounce to bottom home after three little bounces off the rim, 28-28, with 26 seconds to play in the first.
Connor Turley kind of got caught in between right there. So I shoot it and try and go 2-for-1 right here, or I pull it back out? After pondering it for a second or two, Celtie, he makes the right decision, gets the bucket, and a 28-28 tie.
Army holding, 10 seconds to go in the first. McDonald, far right side of the lane, feeding to Simmons, slashing into the key, lost the ball, Smith. 2 seconds to go in the first, deflecting to Bernardini at the timeline. The shot a little high above the box on the glass of the backboard. The red light illuminating on the glass, and the horn sounding, signifying the end of the first 20 minutes of play. But Vin Man, as the Quakers were perhaps flirting with a dangerous spot of falling behind farther to Army, which put together a couple of runs, the Quakers have it even at 28 going into the locker room.
And I actually thought Darren Smith got fouled there at the end of the half. He makes a nice play on the rebound, actually looks up at the shot clock as he turns to dribble out, gets an idea of the timing, gets really attacked by two Army defenders. No call, and a 28-28 tie, and I think Celtics, you're absolutely right. Penn down 5 points there. Army has a chance to make a run. They're unable to do so. And Penn fights back on a couple plays in transition. So if I'm Jerome Allen, I go in there at halftime and say, all right, fellas, it worked twice in a row for a five-point run. It worked twice, at least two other times where we got out and were able to use our athleticism and get up and down. So that would be what I would be pushing here in the second half. And we got to hope at this point. There's 56 points in the first half. Probably 56 technical difficulties, so we're going to hope to get the technical difficulties down in the second half.
Let's knock on wood here at Brenton Byrne. And also,
graduates, listen to this. We got to come across as a first-class operation.
Doing a little advanced scout, for the opposition.
I think that there's a Princeton grad to which I am referring.
Bloodlines run a little bit deeper?
Yes, I would say so. Dennis Ames' return is a Penn fan.
Army and Penn tied up at 28, intermission at Izod Center. And then, man, the other thing, the Quakers coming off a game on Tuesday night where the squad shot a season-high 52.8% from the floor. Shots not really falling in the opening half, roughly 35% for Penn. You got to think that maybe some of those begin to go in.
Well, I mean, again, Brian, I think that part of it is the type of shot, right? Penn's getting caught in that three-point rut a little bit. There hasn't been a whole lot in working through the post, and I think one of the things that has to do with is Jack Eggleston being out with two personal fouls, which we should have touched on earlier. But you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to get anything going, still no points for Zach, I think that hurts Penn a little bit. And the type of shots that they need to get him in transition, get him attacking the basket, areas where Penn has an advantage. I think he can post this team up a little bit, especially with Eggleton, probably with Doherty and Curley. So those are the areas that if you're going to say, hey, let's make an adjustment, that's, you know, those are the slight adjustments. What's worked in the first half? Well, I think that's the transition and the opportunity, kind of the probing of that Army defense. Now, defensively, what you need to do, or what I would say you need to do, is Army very clearly trying to attack and then pitch out to the perimeter for 3 points, for 3 point shots. So I would almost try and force them to take that shot when they get in there, or to use the 8-footer. Maybe not help off quite nearly as much as you're helping off, because Army is doing a very good job of collapsing Penn and then kicking out for wide open threes. Save that, they really haven't done a whole lot offensively.
Comprehensive X's and O's breakdown,
yes,
from former Penn volunteer, very benevolent, assistant coach, Tim and Vince Curran. 28 apiece, Army and Penn.
I had to get a little airtime, so you're hogging the
airwaves. First half.
Well, between you know, you're yammering on and the technical difficulties. I drove all the way up here. I got to get my time in.
We fight our way through. 28-all Army and Penn at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Game number one of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic. The halftime show begins next. The conversation with Penn volleyball head coach Terry Carr and the Lady Quakes of the court in the fall sports season. Another Ivy League championship. Terry Carr reflecting on a red and blue run that came to an end last night down at Duke in the first round for the NCAAs against the Ohio Bobcats. That is coming up next, and also we go around the H8 on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard. 20 minutes in the books, 28 apiece, Army Penn from Nelligan Sports. It is Penn men's basketball on 950 ESPN, Penn Sports Network.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers!
If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit SitHowYouWant.com and explore Generation by Knowles, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knowles, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still. Visit SitHowYouWant.com today.
Your Monday will never be the same, because it's Fajita Rita Monday at Chili's. Get a double order of classic fajitas for only $14.49. A full pound of juicy, marinated steak or chicken grilled to perfection, served sizzling with onions, shell peppers, and the works. Enough for two, just $14.49. And a single order is $8.99. Enjoy a frothy 10-ounce top shelf or Caribbean margarita for only $2.99. It's Fajita Rita Monday, all day, every Monday at participating Chili's.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies for 2 years running, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We win a lot. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Halftime at the Izod Center, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Penn and Army all tied up at 28. The second game of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic, Duke and Butler, the rematch of last year's National Championship Final. And at Duke, with Cameron Indoor Stadium being vacated this weekend, the Penn Volleyball program flying down on Wednesday night, getting ready for the opening round of the NCAA tournament that was held yesterday. Unfortunately, the Quakers, Ivy League champions for a second straight season in 2010, falling and coming up short against the Ohio Bobcats, blank 3-0 in that opening round matchup at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Earlier this week, inside her office at the Dunning Coaches Center on campus at Penn, had a chance to chat with Carrie Carr, the head coach of Penn Volleyball in her 13th season, reflecting on the year that was for the Red and Blue.
Carrie, Ivy League championship number 5 during your tenure here at Penn, and this run had so many exciting twists and turns to it. How does this championship compare to the ones that you previously experienced here?
Well, I think this one was probably the hardest we've had to work for something. Obviously, the first one was hard, but I think repeating back-to-back championships when everyone's gunning for you, everyone wants to knock you off during the Ivy League season, I think this one was particularly hard. And it seemed like we had an experienced lineup, but, you know, to have a couple freshmen on the floor along with our experienced seniors kind of gave us a run for our money as far as trying to make sure that everyone had chemistry together. I think that was pretty tough for at least half the season.
Recently, it was announced that 5 members of the program tabbed all Ivy in the Ancient Eight Ivy League Player of the Year, Megan Triumph. This is a team that had a stretch of losing 9 matches out of 11 en route to a very strong finish. How did the rest of the squad follow her lead amidst all that to make sure that it persevered and came out on top?
Well, I think we had 3 strong leaders. Madison Wojcicki got the Defensive Player of the Year award, the Libero First Team award, and Megan got the Player of the Year, and then Julia Swanson as First Team All-Ivy. All 3 of those people, outside hitter, Libero, and setter, they were the core of our offense and defense. So each one led in their own ways. I think it was almost a try approach to settling the team down and making everyone realize that we were a lot better than what our win-loss record was showing at the time, and persevering through the tough moments.
Speaking with Carrie Carr, she is the head coach of Penn Volleyball. The Quakers in Durham, North Carolina right now, getting ready for NCAA tournament work. You guys in the core that's here now, you've been through this experience before. How much will that help as you go through it and get ready for it now in 2010?
Well, it is nice to have just been back at the tournament last year, and what's even better is that we're not going back to Penn State. We're going to a different venue. Duke is an exciting place to play. We play Ohio University first, and should we get by them, we would play the home team, Duke, in Cameron Indoor Stadium. And I think that's just a really exciting thing for the girls to do. We've been at the championship. We know the routine, the practice routines, everything like that. And I think we're going to settle into that, and we're not going to be nervous as we were maybe last year at Penn State for the first time, again, playing the national championship team in the second round. We have a chance to play someone more at our level, even though they are tougher and a much better conference than the Ivy League. You know, that's why they play the matches, that, you know, 2 tough teams are going to go out and score and put it all out there.
Coincidentally, your club down at Duke, well, the Blue Devils for men's basketball, part of today's doubleheader, Penn Army at half right now, and then Butler Duke after that. How do you go about handling and monitoring the program during an NCAA tournament weekend? Anything that you've accumulated in terms of additional wisdom now that you've been through this a couple times?
Well, you know, you do have to rely on the old basketball standby of Hoosiers, where you measure the net and measure the gym, and it is the same size as the Palestra gym and everything we play against. No, you basically equate it to, hey, this is a volleyball court, this is a volleyball match, it doesn't matter who our opponent is, we still got to put our best feet out on the floor, we got to put our best defense, our offense, and come to this swinging away and being aggressive and not nervous that this is the game, because frankly every game this season was the Ivy League championship was on the line, because if you lose one more then you are out, and I think we do have experience with our backs against the wall and fighting back, so I'm gonna rely on that and the experience we gained for a tough Ivy League conference season as we go into this. You know, you lose, you're out. That was the way it was all season for us, so hopefully we've gained experience and knowledge and confidence so we can come back from that.
Carrie Carr, now 5-time Ivy League champion head coach of Penn Volleyball. Thanks so much for the insight, and congratulations on an awesome, phenomenal season.
Thanks, Brian.
You can hear more from Carrie and more about her program online at PennAthletics.com. The Carrie Carr Show, available anytime on demand. More from the Meadowlands after this halftime between the Quakers and the Army Cadets. From Nelligan Sports, it's Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
When you were 18, you fixed your own car. Then you fixed your friend's car. Then you fixed your friend's sister's car.
Then you fixed your friend's sister's uncle's car. And next thing you know, you had yourself a car repair business. And while you're definitely an expert on four-cylinder engines, you're not exactly an expert on employee health insurance. No problem.
Well, I don't know what I'm looking for, but I know that I just want to look some more.
At Independence Blue Cross, we make it easy for you to find a plan that fits your growing business. You see, we have lots of choices that are flexible and affordable, so you can find a plan that keeps deductibles low. You can modify it to add wellness programs, and you can customize the plan to keep it within your budget. So whether your business is small or big, go to planforfit.com. Independence Blue Cross. Now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen. If I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
Halftime winding down at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. A neutral site for the 33rd meeting between Penn and Army, the Quakers, and the Cadets, all knotted at 28 apiece. Along with studio coordinator, the outstanding, diligent, patient Betsy Deming, and my partner, the midman, Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer with you. Vince, both clubs back out on the court for the first 20 minutes. What stood out to you? What were those astute observations?
Both clubs shot like they were wearing oven mitts, Brian. 10 for 26 for Penn and 11 for 25 for Army. Penn, 1 for 10, yes, 1 for 10 from three-point range. We talked about that being an area where Penn kind of gets into a rut of taking too many three-pointers. You're really taking too many three-pointers. You're only making 10% of them. Penn does a good job on the boards, out the rebounds, Army 19-14. Not a lot of turnovers, only six for each team, but not a whole lot of pressure defense, not a whole lot of defense that would cause turnovers. So I think that, you know, I think Penn can ramp up their defensive intensity. And again, as I said at the beginning of the break, they really need to make Army beat them from somewhere other than the three-point arc.
A relatively 20,029-seat Izod Center, once known as Brendan Byrne Arena, and then Continental Airlines Arena, previously the home courts for the New Jersey Nets of the NBA, and the home ice for the New Jersey Devils of the National Hockey League, now an occasional basketball game here and there, and the Ozzy Osbourne concert last night. Tied up at 28, the Army Cadets, silver home uniforms. They are the designated home team in this neutral site matchup. From left to right in the front court, Ella Ellis, his Springer, far left side lane, lost the ball, recovers, nearly robbed by Rosen. Ella far left, locks in on a deep three. So Army now 6 for 14, the man from the outside.
And that's a killer. Looks like Zach Rosen has that steal. As the ball goes into the post, Jack Eggleston gets caught high side. Army just out-battled Penn right there.
Eggleston pushing his way in the lane. Didn't get a shot off. Ball deflected. Jack gets it back and tosses it back out to Tyler.
I like going to him early, though. He has no points at this point. Penn tries to get something going on him. Army double team.
Rosen. Oh, yes. Right side of the lane. Able to bait Springer and the Cadets into a foul. 31-28. Army has a three-point lead. 47 seconds into the second half.
It's definitely a foul. I don't like that point guard move where they all flail and throw the arms up in the air. Maybe once you demand the sideline for Penn, we don't have a need for the histrionics.
Turley, too strong, misses. Rosen puts it up. That's off the iron. Turley crashing and cashing on that miss. for two. Connor Turley's in with 7 points, six rebounds, 10 within one, 31-30.
Can't complain with that kind of production out of Connor Turley. A lot of energy to boot.
Got his first start of the season. Baseline runner near right, missed by Ellis, and a walk taken by the Black Knights, giving the red and blue the ball back.
Of course, Tyler Bernardini can't catch a break. He has his three-pointer taken away from him on a whistle in the first half, and that time he has a steal and a run-out, and it gets taken away from him on a traveling violation. Now, of course, he's talking to his boys on the bench, which I think if Coach Allen caught him doing that, might give him a little earful.
Penn Quakers, 11 field goals made in this game, only 19 in each of the last two outings for the red and blue. 20 to shoot from right to left front court. Bernardini, an authoritative take. No good. A tap for two on the follow by Turley.
And I think Bernardini got that one as well. He got his own miss. It rolled off. I like the aggressive move, though, going to the basket.
They do give it to Bernardini. 10 back in front, 32-31. 18-17 to go in the second half. Far left high post. Springer seeking a presence underneath. Nothing there. Ellis under the arc near right, 13 on the shot clock for Army. Right in front of his own bench, right side lane. Simmons swerving inside, an offensive foul.
Horrible.
Going against the Black Knights.
Absolutely horrible call. Tyler Bernardini does, we'll take it, but Tyler Bernardini does a nice job of sliding over and kind of sliding underneath the Army player going to the basket. It starts with Connor Turley on the overplay. Ball gets picked up. He really ramps up the pressure. Penn's defense pressures out to the three-point line. There's a back cut, and then on the backside of Penn's defense, Tyler Bernardini gets there. Solid thought, solid play. I just didn't think it was a charge.
23 to shoot for the Quakers. Turley's far right hand off beyond the arc to inside, and a payback the other way is Rosen that time, assessed the offensive crime.
Zach Rosen kind of gets into the chest. What's defending up for Army right there? I think it was Josh Johnson. Gets into the chest of Josh Johnson, but throws his right arm out. Easy call for the official.
Army has utilized a total of 12 different players so far. The Quakers, 8. Near right wing, Ellis. Into the right corner for Hess, popping right side of the lane, far left perimeter to Simmons, pushing his way in the lane, lost the ball in a pass. Rosen battling on the parquet pattern hardwood along with Johnson, and the foul will go against the Black Knights. Their 13th foul, and that one against Johnson.
Johnson for taking out Zach Rosen's legs. Loose ball. Rosen comes up with it, and it looks like he's starting the run out, and Johnson kind of dives in there trying to knock it away and rolls up the back of Zach Rosen.
Quakers right to left in the front court, leading by a point, 32-31, 16-51 to go in the second. Rosen, top of the arc, far right in the corner, Bernardini picked up his foot, took a walk, and the Quakers cough it up.
And he has that little hockey step that he does to kind of get started. It always looks like a walk. I don't know that it always is a walk, because I think he does a pretty good job, Bernardini, of keeping that 1 foot planted. But that time the official whistles him for the violation. And if we had the same TV that everybody else had here, Celtic would be able to look at it and find out whether they in fact got it right. But now I'm on to the Kentucky-Carolina game.
Stop Mark Simmons, blanketed by Bernardini, who shuts him off. Left high post. It's thrown away by Welker atop the arc. Nice confusion, the man, created by that Quaker defense.
It was one of those that they overplay. Penn overplays. Army cuts back door. And it just kind of cuts right in between. And the ball goes out of bounds.
Score still stuck at 32-31, favoring Penn. Rose in near left alley, 25 to shoot. Ball right in the corner, Tyler Bernardini bouncing it to Turley, right side of the lane. A foul on the fourth already. Five fouls in the first 3 minutes, 45 seconds between Army and Penn. In the second half, four of those crimes committed by the Black Knights.
It'll be like your girl's CYO game at the end. They're going to have a running clock to make sure that Butler-Duke game starts on time.
Nice inbound look to Eggleston, stripped though by Tamco. off the feed from Belcourt. Rob the other way, trying to pry the ball out of the left hand. Dribbling of Jeremy Hentz. Hentz far left wing, down low on the left block. Looking for Ellis. And Connor Turley wraps it up, and it's in there. It might be time to just ease back in these chairs and settle in with 6-0.
This game, as you know, as I like to say, Selfie, has completely dropped anchor. There is zero flow right now. 6 fouls in 4 minutes called on the two teams.
Well, at least the lively crowd keeps you... far left point at the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic logo. It is Jeremy Hentz, top of the arc to Ellis. Ellis pumps, taking Curley in his face, pumps again to the foul line, nearly lost the pivot on the right foot. Looking for a lead, far right on the wing, jumper Hentz can't hit, hauling in the rebound. It is Zach Rosen. Quakes looking for points. Bernardini spots up far right. Line drive three, and he locks in. The fourth three-pointer falls this year for Bernardini. 35-31, 10 by four. Offensive foul. Back the other way. Nice job by Bernardini to draw it. And that'll go against Jeremy Hentz.
And that time he stands in, takes the blow. Hentz just plows right into him. So you see how Bernardini gets one to fall on one end, gets a little pep in his step on the other end, starts to flow a little bit. A good sequence there for Tyler Bernardini.
15-29 to go in the second time out on the floor. The score, Penn, the leading Army, 35-31 in the second half. From Elegant Sports, Penn Men's Basketball, 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's always a moment of truth where it's either put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continue to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
PSD Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, this is the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com. Every night at 6, get total high-definition coverage of your favorite Philly sports teams on Comcast Sports Night. Tune in to Comcast SportsNet for the most in-depth reports in town every night, 6 o'clock, only on Comcast SportsNet. Nobody does Philly college hoops better than our friends at Comcast SportsNet. Up the Jersey Turnpike, Izod Center at the Meadowlands Sports Complex, that brand-new, sparkling new Meadowlands Stadium. Just a stone's throw away from the...
By the way, it looks like the old Meadowlands Stadium from the outside.
It's
almost the exact same thing. They got all the windbreakers, I guess, to try and deal with the cold weather wind that they have whipping through there. It's not impressive.
35-31-10, right to left of the front court road, navy blue unis. Tyler Bernardini, near left baseline, drive, flips it off the left kneecap of Welker out of bounds.
Got to shoot that. Tyler Bernardini gets all the way to the baseline. Actually, looks like he has a reverse layup and tries to drop that off to Jack Eggleston. He's about 12 feet behind him for a jump shot. Kind of needs to put that one on the glass.
Caught right on the floor. Far right baseline inbounds. Rosen sinking three with the left hand. Now dribbling with that left hand. Leader left side of the lane. Drawing contact on Army. 17 fouls in there, if I'm not mistaken, unless they were very quick to illuminate the scoreboard. 16 fouls.
It's taken an hour and a half to play the second half of this game.
It's a really stark contrast between the recently opened new Meadowlands Stadium and the other two wilting structures here on the ground in the Meadowlands. Make it three as Rosen drops in the first free throw.
33-31. You've been inside, right, for a game?
Have not.
Oh, okay. From the outside, it looks exactly like the old one to me.
Zach Rosen is in there now. 5 of 7 from the free throw line. 13 points. But then you have this building, which has seen better days than the shopping center.
Yeah, this is like North Jersey's version of the Spectrum. You know,
yeah.
Its time has come and gone.
Rosen missing his second. It remains 36-31 with 15:03 to go in the second. Top of the arc, Springer. Army only 3 points here in the second half. 5 minutes, 5 seconds in. Three from the far left corner, no good by Ellis with the rebound. Penn, led by Connor Turley. Squeaking of sneaks as Rosen with the left-hand dribble goes near left. Nice look inside. Turley from Eggleston, high-low for the deuce.
And we talked about in the first half how Miles Cartwright tried to throw a zip pass to Jack Eggleston diving lane. That time, Jack Eggleston gets a little arc on it to Connor Turley. And as you said, high-low action. Good pass, good finish.
Quakers a 10-0 run. Cartwright nearly intercepting a pass that awkwardly left the hands of good old Cartavicious Kincaid right in front of the Army bench near right.
Cartavius. Cartavicious. I don't know. I'm just asking. Like, that's what I played for them.
That's what I was told.
I believe you. I'm just saying, if I had read it, that's how I would have said it.
Ellis, far left baseline runner, no, soaring in for the offensive rebound. Springer, who was able to bait Tyler Bernardini, I believe. That's Bernardini on the baseline. That is his second personal foul and the third against the Quakers as a team here in the second half. Near right baseline, Kincaid lobbing near right perimeter. Ellis pump faking, goes a quick double team back to Kincaid near right corner. Can't drop it in from deep and suing the defense with the rebound, Zach Rosen. Bernardini near left wing, who keyed this rally and...
Oh, come on,
Jack Eggleston.
That's another moving screen call. All Jack Eggleston doing is posting up. That's a horrible, horrible, atrocious, stinky call. All right? Just to give stinky for the young kids that are listening. All right.
Gang with Punk 49. The phone line a little funky up here at the Izod Center. Your patience much appreciated. What you missed, a couple of buckets. One for Kincaid, a two-point runner for Army to stop Penn's run of a 10-0 scoring spurt. And the red and blue back the other way, Jack Eggleston dropping in two. And then a technical foul against Zach Spiker as Zach Rosen knocking down his first free throw from the line.
Bad tech for Spiker, too, because Penn had just committed a traveling violation, so it would have been Army's ball going back the other way. Now Penn gets the 2 points.
Here's the ball, too, no?
No, they're not getting the ball. Okay.
42-33 is the score with 13 minutes and 3 seconds to go in the second half again. Once again, we appreciate your loyalty on a somewhat choppy phone line Saturday from aging Brendan Byrne. Panko far left wing to the baseline. Set up there by Cartwright, forces the pick of the pass by Eggleston. Right side of the lane. Cartwright draws the contact. And the foul is on the floor. It is against Miles Cartwright, the 15th foul against Penn.
Jack Eggleston kind of hung him out to dry right there, though, Selke. Jack Eggleston steps in, gets the interception, and goes the other way. The right play probably is to hold, pull the ball up. He's got a one-on-three break. And relax, he said he drives it into traffic and then drops it off to Cartwright, who's coming full bear to try and help him out. And Cartwright gets the charge call.
Ellis in the lane, kick out, Panto near right, unable to punch it in from the perimeter with the pull. Eggleston lost it as he tried to underhand it to Rosen. Army gets it back. Cartwright, an easy pick right through the middle of the court on a cross-court pass attempt ill-advised by Army. 42-33, Penn's 9-point lead. It's the largest of the afternoon with 12 and a quarter to go in the second.
Army looks like they are completely out of sync right now. They can't get anything going offensively.
Backdoor look. Rosen offensive foul again. Called against the Quakers. Sixth team foul. This officiating crew, man, is
leaving a little bit to be...
Yeah, not allowing for much rhythm or flow to develop in this game. The Penn Quakers have won three in a row against the Army Black Knights. The previous Army victory coming a way back on January 20th, 1954.
The way I would say that is Army hasn't beaten Penn in 56 years.
I like that. Far left wing, Herbeck shuffles top of the arc. Hands under the arc near right on the drive. Goes to Pat Glasson with a little kiss. Selects two. 42-35, Penn's lead down to seven.
And again, Army taking a shot that is not the easiest shot in the world. So if you're Penn, you know, not that you want them to score, but you'll take it.
Cartwright wide open near left, and he knocks it down, making Army pay from the perimeter. A three-pointer thrown in. 45-35, the Quakes by double digits with 11.5 left.
Looks like they double-teamed Connor Turley to get in the low block, which is where it all starts.
Hence hits back the other way far left for a three-pointer of his own, neutralizing the one notched by Cartwright. 45-38 is the score, 11-18 left in the second. And Zach Spiker, the head coach for the Army Cadets, calls a timeout. Army's in man has never appeared in program history, which was founded back in 1903. Never has Army appeared in the NCAA tournament, 8 NITs, and only one winning season in the last 25 years for the Black Knights. 11-18 left in the second half. Time out of the floor. The score, Penn on top of Army, 45-38. From Elgin Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Quakers fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Abner's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Abner's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics. Supporters of the Penn women's basketball team can make a donation to worthwhile charities through the Charge for a Cure program. Fans can donate a designated amount for every charge taken by the Penn women's basketball team, with the proceeds going to one of the five leading charitable foundations: the ALS Association of America, the Lupus Foundation of America, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. A different charitable foundation will benefit each month, November through March, during the season. For more information or to make a donation, visit the women's basketball page at PennAthletics.com. That's Charge for a Cure at PennAthletics.com.
Penn men's basketball back on campus for the final time until January 22nd. That'll be this coming Wednesday, a much-anticipated Big Five bout. The opener of the city series for the Quakers against the Villanova Wildcats, a top 25 program. Tip-off is this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Tickets available online at PennAthletics.com/tickets. Or also by visiting the Penn Athletics ticket office on campus in that driveway between Waitman Hall and the Dunning Coaches Center along 33rd Street. Vin Man should be a fun one on Wednesday. The Quakers leading now 45-38 over Army, 11-15 left in the second. But the second top 25 team the Quakers will confront. And an offensive foul called against Miles Cartwright and the Penn Quakers. And now it's always an each team with 17 fouls. 11-12 to go in the second half. We'll keep it right here. But Vince, Villanova coming to the Palestra on Wednesday night. First game in the Big five round robin for the red and blue, and Jay Wright's crew got off to a real good start, lost the preseason NIT championship final to Blues Pearl and the Tennessee Volunteers across the Hudson at Madison Square Garden from where they are right now.
No, and that pretty good SEC team, and seen Villanova play a couple of times on TV, and I Corey Fisher is really turned into a pretty good player, and he seems to be a guy that's really leading them right now, and I think Malik Waynes is as good a guard as there is out there. So Quakers are going to have their hands full, but it's going to be a fun atmosphere. Big Five games are always great, and Penn obviously going to need to play well to get it done against Villanova.
What impact, if any, do you think the Quakers having played Pitt, a Big East program, ranked number 5 at that point in time, will have on their mindset going into this game? Maybe relax the red and blue a little bit more, not as daunting as it would be your first top 25 team that you go up against in a given season?
Absolutely zero. I think that, you know, Ben's going to have to do what they do. You know, they're going to have to take care of the ball. They're going to have to shoot it well from the perimeter. That rebounding is going to be a key in that game. Muftal Yaru is really getting it done for Villanova on the boards right
Who?
Now. Yeah, I went to high school with him. He's about 38 right now. The freshman when I was a senior. But that Penn's going to need to do all those things. The fact that they needed to do all those same things against Pitt, or the same that they all those same things when they play Kentucky. Now, who cares? I mean, you're just going to have to go out there and figure it out as you go.
11-12 to go in the second, 45-38, Penn, a leading Army out of timeout. Cadets with the basketball, left-right front court, home silver unis for Army, road Navy Blues for Penn. Top of the arc, Herbeck, lobbing left high post to Ellis over Eggleston, a little bit too strong on the shot, ricochet rebound into the hands of Rob Belcourt.
And I like the fact that Penn continues to look to run off of every missed shot. They're really trying to get out and create easy opportunities in transition.
Avini, Belcourt, Eggleston, Rosen, Smith on the court. Jack in the lane, hops up and hits a four-footer, clutching two more.
That's his first bucket, correct?
I believe it is his second.
Okay, on this one. Sorry, Celtics.
Because when we were off the air, so can't fault you as you were trying to get that phone line figured out. Top of the arc, Josh Herbeck hits a three. Another three-pointer for the Army Black Knights. 47-41, Penn's lead down to six. Near left, Bernardini looking for an entry pass to Eggleston, who hit the hardwood. It appeared as if there was some contact between he and Ellis. No call on the court. And Jerome Allen, the John R. Rockwell head coach of men's basketball at Penn. Natalie Clad, as usual, Vin Man. You can tell from the body language, a little bit frustrated.
Did you say frustrated?
I did just say frustrated.
You're the best.
Tamko, far left on the wing. 25 to shoot, 10 to play. Izod center getting the run today. First hoops game. Offensive foul by Ellis. Near right low post. Well done by Turley to stand strong. The eighth team foul. 9:52 to get on the second. 47-41.
Actually, if Enko were a quarterback, he would have gotten his receiver's head taken off right there.
Yeah.
He's leading them out over the middle. All Bernardini had to do was sit there. He was there for about 5 seconds.
He has really had a rough game. He averages 7.9 points per outing, along with 3.4 rebounds, and ranks second in the Patriot League with 4.3 assists per game. Just two turnovers his last three games, but he's coughed it up a handful of times today. Charlie, far right baseline to a triple team, feeds it far right wing. Rosen on the perimeter, setting things up with 15 to shoot. Standing right adjacent to the Meadowlands logo, center court. Now 9 on the shot clock. Rosen, right high post. Shut off there, trailing by Belcourt, bobble the ball, 3 to shoot, leaner for 3, off iron, no offensive rebound, through the hands of Eggleston, out of bounds, along the near right baseline.
Looking an awful lot like the Manhattan offense at the end of the Manhattan game. A lot of standing around, not attacking, not probing, and settling for jumpers or plays at the end of the shot clock. And can't stop playing early, especially against a team like Army, who you know is going to go to the bitter end.
Belcourt hounding Tamko, far left wing, who tosses to the right high post. And Jordan Springer behind him, top of the arc. Hence, Right high post jumper for Herbeck, unable to get it to go. Gobbling up the rebound, Jack Eggleston. Rosen settled it down near left, just alongside the wing where his head coach, Jerome Allen, a former Penn point guard, stands. Bernardini, right high post, skips it far.
More aggressive, and that time kicks the ball into the corner, and as the defense flows to Rob Belcourt in the corner, he steps out and is wide open. And he's had wide open shots in a couple previous games, has not been able to knock him down, has hit a couple today, which you can see has a little bounce in his step.
Big three for Tyler Bernardini, 50-41, 10 leading Army with 8-12 to the play. Spinning in the lane, head switching hands to the right side, and with the palm, he places it 2 points, 50-43. Rosen near sideline, left for D, back to Zach in the lane, the left-handed lay-in, counted for Rosen, 52-43, the pace picking up midway through the second half.
And now 17 points for Zach Rosen, and again, we talk about the ball flowing and him getting up and down the floor and trying to create easy opportunities. He gets one right there just by dictating the action.
In the far left corner, it is McDonald who seeks to set it up for Army. Whistle on the floor, foul committed, and it'll be against
Rob Belcourt.
Rob Belcourt for the Red Blues. 7:37 to go in the second half, 5 out of the 4 score. Then on top of Army by 9, 52-43. From Elgin Sports, Penn Men's Basketball, on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Come closer. I am the old school light bulb, and I love to suck the energy. It's so delicious, so expensive. $1, $5, $20.
Old light bulbs waste about $44 a year. Get energy efficient CFLs with Seco Smart Lighting Discount. Seco, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. For saving details, visit Seco.com/smart ideas or call 888-5-SECO-SAVE.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victory. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them. In the fight for recovery, in the game of their lives, Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Your Monday will never be the same because it's Fajita Rita Monday at Chili's. Get a double order of classic fajitas for only $14.49. A full pound of juicy marinated steak or chicken grilled to perfection, served sizzling with onions, bell peppers, and the works. Enough for two, just $14.49. And a single order is $8.99. Enjoy a frothy 10-ounce top shelf of Caribbean margarita for only $2.99. It's Fajita Rita Monday, all day, every Monday at participating Chili's.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
New free throws from Julian Simmons makes it 52-45-10 with 7.5 minutes to go. Far right wing, Rosen, just above the Izod Center red logo on that parquet pattern court. Curley, top of the arcade space, passing off far right wing to Rosen. Zach calling out signals with the left hand. Shot clock winding down. 8 seconds behind the back dribble by Zach. Under the foul line, pulls up. Shot rattles off the left. Rebound, Army.
And it's the same offense we talked about 10 seconds ago in the shot clock. Zach Rosen's 35 feet away waiting for the high ball screen.
and needs to initiate and be more aggressive early. Simmons' three-point attempt blocked by Bernardini in the near right corner. The Quaker is working transition. Well, it's 6:47 to go, good man. No question that Jerome Allen trying to slow down the tempo of this game.
Why?
You know, I mean, I think you have an advantage. And I don't know that he's necessarily trying to slow it down. I just think that's what's happening. I think that Penn needs to be more aggressive and get it going.
Belcourt buries it from beyond along the near left sideline. A three thrown in by Rob Belcourt. His third of the year, 55-45. Top of the arc, Kent hoists the three. Can't hit, rebounds through the hands of Curley, but he was fouled as he made the attempt.
Good position by Connor Curley, aggressively going up for that rebound. Connor Curley, really nice game today. 9 points, now 7 rebounds. Really picked up the front court production with Jeff. Foul trouble and not really being able to get anything done. Fran Doherty looks like he tweaked his ankle a little bit, but I don't think it looks too... Connor Curley...
Connor Turley, 2 for 2 from the line, 57-45 once again. Your patience much appreciated. Amidst some of these phone line inconsistencies from the Izod Center in East Rutherford. And a foul will go against the Quakers back the other way. Connor Turley is third. Good game for Turley, and that'll put the Black Knights back in the line. But Vince, great offensive production from both Tyler Bernardini and Rob Belcourt this afternoon. Two guys you asked the head coach about in your pregame interview who had struggled to find their strokes in the first 6 games.
Yep, Tyler Bernardini in double figures right now. 10 points, 5 rebounds. Couple of assists, so he's really helping Jerome Allen out, and Rob Belcourt, still, I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive because I think shots present themselves to him. Now 2 for 3, 5 points, just knocked down a big three-pointer to give Penn a 10-point lead.
At the line, Ellis sinks both to make it a 10-point game once again with 6:10 to go. 57-47, the Quaker is trying to pick up its first...
Yeah,
far right lob, Rosenbelcourt. Is that
I'm tumbling down. I'll be happy.
5 minutes, 5 seconds to go in the second. 60-49, Penn with the lead. The Quakers with the ball from right to left in the front court. A foul out on the floor going against the Army Black Knights. That'll put Penn back at the line. See, there have only been a handful of technical difficulties there. Maybe Jimmy Hoffman, man, is playing with the phone line.
Bird here, not bird over in the Meadowlands.
Yeah. Fouling out for the Army Cadets, it'll be Ella Ellis. So that takes away a 3-point
Ella Ellis
threat for the
Rihanna not there for you, Kelsey.
So Ellis goes out. That takes away 13.3 points per game for the Black Knights. And the Quakers, as this second half has slogged along, will go back to the free throw line.
Jack Eggleston going to go to the free throw line. Actually, during the technical difficulty, Jack kicked up a three-pointer in the corner that was a little bit aggressive for Coach Allen's liking, got a bit of an earful. But now Jack, probably Penn's most consistent free throw shooter, going to the line to try and expand this 61-49 lead as he makes the first. Both teams in the double bonus right now as Eggleston misses the second.
Army with the ball, running back the other way, left to right in the front court. Pamko has had a lot of problems on the court, as evidenced there microcosmically as he lost the ball on an easy dribble. Picks it back up, flings it far left baseline. Hence on the reverse, blocked by Belcourt Eggleston. Red and blue retrieves.
And Penn content to walk it up the floor.
Near left on the wing, Cartwright with 4:32 to go. Penn leading by 12. Now make it 15. Top of the arc, a three-pointer by Tyler Bernardini.
I like the aggressiveness, too. You know, Penn, again, not to belabor this point, but a couple times has slowed down offensively to the point of not attacking. And Tyler right there sees a shot, takes it, and makes it.
Welker, three off the front of the iron, far left. A rebound on a putback try by Kincaid. Knocked out of bounds by the Black Knights. A 4 minute, 7 seconds plus. 64-49, Penn and Vince. A big difference from the first half compared to now here in the second half. Some of those three-point tries by the Quakers are starting to drop.
1-for-10 in the first half, now 4-for-14 in the second half. So 3-for-4, actually no, excuse 5-for-15, 4-for-5 in the second half for Penn.
Score from around the Ivy League. Harvard an early lead at Michigan, 22-17, 3:59 to go in the first half.
Another opportunity for Tommy Emerson to lose in Ann Arbor.
Stop of the arc, Bernardini. Just under 4 minutes to go in the second. Bernardini set off top of the key. Near left release for Rosen. Back to that. The Meadowlands logo. Middle of the floor. Zach driving near left side of the lane. Offensive foul. Called against Zach. And
Zach doesn't like the offensive foul call. And he turns to Clarence Armstrong. And Jerome Allen screams Zach Eggleston that Miles Cartwright's wide open in the corner, and as he's coming off the floor, he puts his hand up to one side of his face like a blinder on a horse. All he's doing is looking in one direction. He doesn't see his open teammate in the corner. It was right there for him.
3 minutes, 42 seconds to go in the second half. Time out on the floor of the score. Penn leading Army 60.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Well, listen, if I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Talk to the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
4 blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
There's one place for great basketball. That's with the Quakers. And there's one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products. Available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in Black Bear deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or anytime, choose premium quality Black Bear deli. Visit ShopRite's Appy department and let us create fabulous Black Bear deli platters for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite. And go Quakers.
Three minutes. minutes and 42 seconds left in the second half of game number one of the CarQuest Auto Parts Classic. The second game, a rematch of this past April's national championship game. The Duke Blue Devils, number one in the country, battling the Butler Bulldogs. A thrilling final game it was. Duke winning it by 2 points. The Quakers looking for their first road win of 2010-2011. Penn has Belcour, Rose, and Bernardini nearly picked off the inbounds. Eggleston and Cartwright on the court. Missing a three, Herbeck far left corner. Belcour bringing down the board.
Farming's just a gang that can't shoot straight right now. They get a wide open look there, and they don't even come close.
Far right wing, Tyler Bernardini. And the pass was lost through the hands of Jack Eggleston along the far right baseline.
Some of the guys that are coming back to their seats and just stand in front of us and see.
We're hard, of course, on this afternoon. And then McDonald is far left in the alley and in front of a huge row of empty seats at the Izod Center. Give and go from Springer. Here left on the wing, Herbeck. Back to McDonald. Top of the arc, who sets it up. 14 to shoot. 3 minutes to go in the second half. Welker at the foul line, back behind, above the arc, hence. Kick from the shot clock, far left side of the lane. Springer kick out to Herbeck. Far left baseline, left hand runner, a shot clock violation.
Good defense
by Penn.
Horrible offense. I mean, Penn's defense was decent, but Army looked like they were completely flustered out there.
Jason Panko subbing back in for McDonald. Simmons will relieve Herbeck for Army. The Quakers ended the afternoon ranked second in the Ivy League in points defense per game, averaging just 67.7 points allowed, 49 points surrendered today. Cartwright creeping top of the key. Rosen, near left on the wing, playing catch with Cartwright. Far right baseline, Belcour, all nylon, been there on a 10-footer, 66-49. So Bernardini, Belcour, great offensive output.
But created by Tyler Bernardini, flashing to the middle against that zone defense. Ball goes into him at the foul line. He kicks the Belcour, is wide open on the baseline.
Simmons can't stroke a three. Near right wing, red and blue rebound with 2 minutes, 5 seconds to go. Penn leading by a large 17-point advantage. Possibly in line for their biggest margin of victory this season. Far right wing, Rosen. 12 to shoot for the Quakers. Bernardini, top of the arc, has Cartwright near left wing. Entry pass Eggleston with the left hand. He's blocked by Welker. Army back the other way, left to right. Hand go under the arc near right. Right block Springer. Too strong as he flicked the right hand. Rebound deflects to Welker far left baseline. On the wing, he's got Hentz, two hits from the outside. 66-52, Penn's lead down to 14. A minute 26 left in the second half. The red and blue returning home, counting today. After this game, they will come back on Wednesday night. The Quakers in a stretch starting now. 6 of 7 games on the road. After Villanova at home on Wednesday, a nice two-week reprieve before the red and blue head to Delaware and then at Marist at Kentucky at LaSalle.
At Kentucky ought to be a fun one, Selfie.
Oh, that'll be great. Site of the previous NCAA tournament appearance.
The exact opposite of this arena with 20,000 empty seats. That one will have 20,000 Kentucky fans.
I think the Quakes draw Ashley Judd for that game, didn't they?
My guess is no. My guess is Ashley Judd will not be in attendance. I'm going to guess Dario Franchitti has some kind of race going on, and she'll be in attendance of that, or she's on location. The Quakes, I don't think, are going to warrant her attention.
Full court press.
So she might be interested in seeing Phil Samko. He does draw in the ladies.
What big-time actress wouldn't be? Full court press broken by Penn. Rosen near left wing. 75 seconds to go. Penn has this one in its control, leading by 14. Palming violation by Zach Rosen. Far right, and the red and blue give it back to Army.
Why? Why make that call at this point? It was away from, you know, any real action. This is bad officiating.
the Penn Quakers. Largest victory of this season, 12 points. They got it their previous time on the floor against UMBC on Tuesday. Herbeck, near right baseline, throws it away. Just some very hurried, erratic offense run by Arthur. A lot of turnovers.
Let's talk about how quickly Miles Cartwright reacted and got to the baseline right there, helping out his teammate. I think that was a terrific play by Miles Cartwright.
41 seconds to go in a slow-moving second half. 66-52. All Quakers. A really dominant display here in the second. And the Quakers will pitch the ball around the perimeter. Shot clock at 8 underneath Eggleston, free for an easy 2. Vin Man, the Black Knights, kind of
start
like
the bus,
you again. Expect they have just totally packed it in.
ESPN's Andy Katz in the building to see the end of this game.
22 seconds to go. Army and Hentz lay a brick on a 3. 68-52, Penn leading by 16. Army gift wraps the Quakers the ball, and the Quakers will hold at that turnover for the final 10 seconds. The Red and Blue will record their first road victory of 2010-2011 and breach the 500 mark for the second time this season. The Penn Quakers record 2 victories, improve to 4-3, drop the Army Black Knights to 500 on the year. Army now at 4-4. The Cadets' third consecutive loss, the second win in a row for Penn, their first road triumph of this early new season. 68-52, the final score, fourth win in a row in the series against Army.
And just a good, solid, all-around effort. Zach Rosen really aggressive in his play. I think Tyler Bernardini shooting the ball a little bit better really helps out Penn's cause. And just the right energy, good halftime adjustments to try and take away the 3 from Army. And Penn, just as we said in the outset, there are areas where Penn has advantages, a little more skill. Penn really took advantage of it tonight.
The Quakers' biggest win of the season, toppling Army by 16 points, 68-52. And also, Vinland Penn defensively surrendering its lowest point total of the season, only 52 points spotted, to an Army team that ended this afternoon averaging 71 points per game.
Well, they were the gang that couldn't shoot straight in the second half, and I think a lot of that goes to Penn taking away that perimeter three-point opportunity, which they didn't do as good a job of in the first half. But all in all, I just think a solid effort for Penn across the board.
The Quakers in a neutral site game at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, best the Army Black Knights 68-52. Penn, second straight victory, improving to 4-3 on the season, heading into a game against Villanova at the Palestra on Wednesday night. The Army Black Knights drop to 4-4 on the year. The Red and Blue Rewind postgame show proceeds next. Penn 4-3 now, following a 68-52 triumph against Army at the Meadowlands. From Nelligan Sports, you've been listening to Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
There's always a moment of truth where things are put up or shut up. We were yelling our hearts out. Even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continue to push. I don't know where the pain went to, but all I know is that I had what it took. I am a United States Marine.
BFC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
What? I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen. If I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke.
Dogs do the hand.
No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
Four blocks for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Oh, excusez-moi, I am the Wendu, and I have created the most wonderful draft. It blows money right out of the wallet.
Your windows may be wasting energy. Take the Pico Smart Home e-audit and find ways to save money around your house. Pico, we put our energy into lots of programs that save you money. Learn more at pico.com/smartideas or call 888-5-PICO-SAVE.
If you come from today's rapidly changing, energetic, collaborative workplace where people expect their work tools to do the best job possible, visit SitHowYouWant.com and explore Generation by Knoll, the award-winning work chair. Generation's advanced design and flexing features give you the freedom to be you and allow you to move effortlessly about your day. Generation by Knoll, for anyone in today's workplace, but especially for those who refuse to sit still. Visit SitHowYouWant.com today.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast SportsNet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
A sound victory for the Penn Quakers this afternoon in the swampland and the marshes of East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Quakers fighting past a upstart Black Knights effort in the first half, and the Red Blue really pulling away in the second. And thank you for bearing with us on an afternoon where we had countless phone line issues. And if you hung with us through the majority of the day, your patience much appreciated as the Penn Quakers take care of the Army Cadets, 68-52. Penn above 500 for the second time this season, 4-3 Army. Now at 4-4, along with our studio coordinator, Betsy Devin. Great job by her today. Partner, Vince Curran. Great job, as always, by the man, Brian Seltzer, with you.
Vince, great job by you, too, Brian.
Well, you know, I just try to meet the standard set by our outstanding color analyst from the Penn Quakers.
Betsy Deming, field conditions today for her.
Yeah.
Deal with the all the fine conditions here at the old Meadowlands Arena.
We'll have some out-of-town scores as we go around the Ancient Eight, courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet, in just a little bit. But first, Vin Man, your impressions from game number 7 of this 2010-2011 season for Penn.
Well, I mean, after the game, like going into it, you say, okay, this is a team, you look at the schedule, you look at how Army is playing, you look at, you know, where they're picking on, like, all right, this is a game that Penn should win. And you go through the first half, and you see Army making some shots. He said, all right, well, you make some adjustments, you should be okay. And in the second half, Penn really put it on Army, and I thought the halftime adjustments by Jerome and staff were great. I thought that the defensive intensity in the second half was very good. I thought taking away the three-point opportunities for Army pretty much took them out of there, out of anything they were trying to do. And, you know, all in all, I think Penn just pretty much played well across the board. You know, and that kind of manifested itself in a game that you won. Not to say you should win a game a certain way, but Penn should have won this game. Right? They were the better team. They played like the better team, especially in the second half, and really put it on Army.
The Penn Quakers knocking off the Army Black Knights, 68-52. Time now to go around the 8-8 on the Comcast Sportsnet out-of-town scoreboard. There is one, I think that's two other games going on right now in the league. The most notable involving, Tommy Amaker, the Harvard Crimson, and the Crimson on the road at Michigan, leading 32-25 at the half.
I think Harvard's pretty good. I mean, and I think that they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. I think Keith Wright's a pretty good player. It was going to be interesting to see how Harvard dealt with the loss of Jeremy Lin. And so far, it seems so good for Tommy Hannifer and the Harvard Crimson.
32-25, Harvard, the Johnnies at the half. Yale and Vermont, that's a pretty good matchup, Ivy League and America East team. They are tied at 32 at the break. And later on today, well, not too later on, about 2 minutes, Brown is at Maine. 2 o'clock tip-off. The Bears are 3-3 this season. It'll be Cornell visiting number 13 Minnesota at the Barn, just outside of the Twin City limits at 8 o'clock tonight. Stony Brook at Columbia. Columbia 3-4, Cornell 2-5. Cornell has lost 3 games in a row. So once again, Harvard leading Michigan by 7 at Michigan halftime. Yale Vermont tied at 32 at the break. Brown and Maine in moments. Cornell visiting Minnesota later on tonight. And Stony Brook clashing with Columbia at another favorite site of the Penn Sports Network, Levian Gymnasium, across the Hudson from right here at the Isa.
as bad as it is here in terms of technical difficulties and just a total lack of preparedness, I think the Levian Gymnasium takes the cake for the place that we consistently have the most problems within our fine league.
Right here at the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at the Meadowlands, Penn pushing past Army 68-52. The Quakers, for the second time this season, above 500. The Quakers, prior to getting that first win of the season at 1-0 versus Davidson, had not been at 500 or above it 2007. More to come on Red and Blue Rewind after this from Elegant Sports, Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Team.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Basketball. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details. And go Quakers!
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker ePass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics and coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 2004, when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field, or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit us online at SprintTurf.com.
To the final from the first game of the tradition-rich Carquest Auto Parts Classic from the Izod Center.
First one
in East Rutherford, New Jersey. The Duke Blue Devils warming up on the left half of the court as we see it. Butler, the
Bears.
Right side, that'll be the second game along with Vince Kerr and Brian Seltzer.
Seltzer.
As we recap game number one, Penn's fourth win of the season, 4-3 first win off campus for the Red and Blue. Time now to go over the highlights play of the game, and that's presented by Pico Energy. Pico with you every step of the way. Vin Man.
I was trying to find out when it happened. 13-16 in the second half. The layup for Jack Eggleston off the... Wait, this is the play of the game, right?
Yeah.
Layup for Jack Eggleston off the inbounds play. Penn ran a little bit of a wheel where they kind of ran cutters at the basket off a baseline out of bounds. And Jack Eggleston was the third man through, ends up wide open. Well-designed play by Jerome Allen, great in the execution by the Quakers, and a good finish by Jack Eggleston off the feed from Miles Cartwright. So that right there, Brian Seltzer, is my, what's it?
Pico of it, man.
Pico play of the game.
And it's brought to you by Pico Energy, with you every step of the way. Pico, a proud partner of Penn Athletics. United Healthcare presents the shot of the game. Vin Man.
Back to the shot of the game. Well, a couple of them come to mind. Two guys that I thought it was important for Penn to get off offensively were Rob Belcour and Tyler Bernardini. And Tyler hit 3 3-pointers tonight, 3 for 6 with 13 points. But Rob Belcour also hits a big 3-pointer on a swing. The ball swings and reverses him, and he kind of just took it in rhythm, took what was there, and shot it with some confidence. So I'm going to go with the Rob Belcour three-pointer at about the eight-minute mark of the second half.
Great to see some shots fall for Rob Belcour this afternoon. 7 points, 3 for 4 from the floor. 1-2 overall. And that is the shot of the game brought to you by United Healthcare. United Healthcare helping people lead healthier lives, a proud partner of Penn Athletics. Vin, man, it is the moment.
Yes.
If our audience was able to bear with us through the day.
If anybody's still listening.
The anticipation now just overwhelming for the announcement of the Smokey Joe's playoff of the game.
So here's the thing, Chelsea. You know, we have this little contest where we, you know, where the two of us and two of the managers pick player of the game, and at the end of the year we tally up who got the most points. And I know, just from the way you introduced that you think that you got today's point.
No, I don't think. I think you're
feeling it.
There could be a first-time winner this season today.
There could be a first-time. You mean you would be the first-time winner if a couple candidates, obviously. Zach Rosen in his glorious return to North Jersey, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple of steals. Really just kind of, I thought, really dictated for Penn the way that the game was going to be played. When they were stagnant offensively, he attacked. When they were not getting it done defensively, kind of brought everybody up around him. I thought Connor Turley could be 11 points and 7 rebounds in his first start of the year, a couple of assists, a block, really gave Penn a physical presence and really gave Penn some production in the front court from somebody other than Jack Eggleston. Jack Eggleston struggles from the floor a little bit today, so I don't think he's in the player of the game. He has the foul trouble, but the third player that I think you probably have to consider is Tyler Bernardine. 13 points on 5-for-9 from the floor, 3-for-6 from three. Has 5 rebounds, which is an area where I think Tyler needs to improve and is improving. So 5 rebounds from him is encouraging. 2 assists, a block, and a steal in 37 minutes. So Penn was able to leave him out there a long time and get some production from people other than Zach, Jack, and Miles, which is something that needs to happen. So, Brian.
Yes, Ben.
That is my long-winded way of saying that my player of the game today, the Smokey Joe's player of the game,
indeed,
Tyler Bernardine.
Tyler Bernardine coming through with the Smokey Joe's.
Brian Seltzer is on the board.
And Tyler put himself in the running for such a prestigious recognition with conversions from the floor such as this. Quakes looking for points. Bernardine spots up far right. Line drive three and he locks in. The fourth three-pointer falls this year for Bernardini, 35-31. Well, Tyler, he entered the afternoon 3-for-24 from the outside. He missed his first 3 shots from the perimeter, so on his 28th of the season, banging down number 4. Great effort by Tyler Bernardini today. 13 points, as the good man said. 5 rebounds as well, and Tyler Bernardini is the Smokey Joe's player of the game, presented by the one and the only Smokey Joe's, and his good man.
The institution.
Indeed it is. Located on 40th Street between Walnut and Locust. A tradition of before and after games since 1933. A proud partner of Penn Athletics. 68-52 the final score. The Penn Quakers improved to 4-3 by defeating Army, which drops to 4-4. A look at the leaderboard after this, and our final thoughts before saying so long until Wednesday as Red and Blue Rewind continues from Elgin Sports Penn Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Quaker fans, looking for the best meal deal in Philadelphia? Come on down to Adler's Cheesesteaks in University City. A Penn tradition, Adler's is located at 3818 Chestnut Street and is home to the best cheesesteaks in Philadelphia. The next time you're visiting historic Franklin Field, the Palestra, or anywhere else on the Penn campus, be sure to stop by Adler's Cheesesteaks in University City, a proud supporter of Penn Athletics.
I just downloaded an app for my phone. Let's see if this works. Phone, find me a burger and a Coke.
I'm busy right now.
Well, I guess I'll call a human.
Like your mom.
Whoa, listen, if I'm going to have a burger, I have to have a Coke. No one says that anymore.
I've got a lot of drama going on.
All right, well, why don't we go together?
For lunch, for a burger and a Coke.
Thanks, phone.
Coca-Cola. Open happiness.
Supporters of the Penn women's basketball team can make a donation to worthwhile charities through the Charge for a Cure program. Fans can donate a designated amount for every charge taken by the Penn women's basketball team, with the proceeds going to one of the 5 leading charitable foundations. The ALS Association of America, the Lupus Foundation of America, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. A different charitable foundation will benefit each month, November through March, during the season. For more information or to make a donation, visit the women's basketball page at PennAthletics.com.
That's Charge for a Cure at PennAthletics.com.
Often in sports, extra time is needed for victory. Minutes of overtime make all the difference. The same is true of recovery from a critical illness. Sometimes patients require care beyond a traditional hospital stay. Kindred Hospitals is there for them. In the fight for recovery, in the game of their lives, Kindred Hospitals provide aggressive, high-intensity care to medically complex patients requiring extended recovery time. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
Glenn DeBow on the Red Bull Rewind postgame show. The Penn Quakers defeating the Army Black Knights 68-52, the final score. So I've got to recap the Kindred Healthcare Team Leaders Report. The leading scorer in the game, Zach Rosen, 20. He went 6-13 from the field overall, and 1-3 from the outside, 7-10 from the strike, 4 rebounds for Zach Rosen. Leading the way with a game-high 9 rebound total, Jack Eggleston, 7 points for him, a little bit more difficult day from the field, 3-8. 6 turnovers for Jack Eggleston, a season-high, finishing in double figures as well for Penn. Connor Turley, back-to-back 11-point games. Tyler Bernardini, a season-high 13-point performance. Game-high for Army, belonging to Jeremy Hess with 15. Their only other double-digit performer, Julian Simmons, with 10. The Quakers shot 38.5% in the first half. They turned around 14-21. They had the second half 51.1% shooting from the field, 7 of 18 from the outside, 13 of 18 from the free throw line. Army really miserable from the 36-27. The second half in route to their fourth win of the year, and above 500 for just the second time since the end of the 2007 season. The team leader support brought to you by Kindred Healthcare. The Kindred Hospital team provides high-intensity medical care with the Kindred Healthcare team. Help you on the road to recovery. Learn more at kindredhospitals.com. Vidman, wrapping this thing up from the Izod Center. What do you expect Wednesday night? The Duke Blue Devils. Pardon me.
The Duke Blue Devils.
The order on the court warming up. The Penn Quakers hosting the Villanova Wildcats.
Well, I think we talked a little bit about it earlier. Villanova, a team that really wants to play at a pace. They've got very strong guard play. They've got big people up front that really control the middle. So it's a tall order for Penn. I think it's just going to be a matter of composure and just trying to manage the game and not make too many mistakes, take good care of the ball, and try and get good shots when it comes time to, you know, to get that done.
Fans filing in for Duke Butler taking place in about an hour's time from the Izod Center, where Penn in game number one of the Conquest Auto Parts Classic fought past the Army Black Knights 68-52. Vin Mann, talk to you on Wednesday night from Palestra proper.
Can't wait, Selke.
Looking forward to speaking with you and the rest of our audience at that point in time. It's a 7 o'clock tip pregame at 6:45 on 88.5 XPN. The preceding copyrighted broadcast has been authorized under rights granted by the University of Pennsylvania's Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics Department to Nelligan Sports Marketing. It is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of this particular audience, and we do appreciate your listening and lending us your ears on this Saturday, December the 4th. The executive producer of 10 Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Michael Felici, and the coordinating producer has been Nicole Schwartz. And now for outstanding, incomparable studio coordinator, Betsy Deming, and my partner on site, the Hitman, Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer, saying, see you later. From the Izod Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where Penn improves to 4-3 by prevailing over Army 68-52. Have a great rest of your Saturday afternoon and a pleasant start to your Sunday from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2010-2011 Penn Men's Basketball from the Penn Sports Network from Nelligan Sports Marketing has been presented by Chili's. Chili's, home of Fajita Rita Monday, pepper and some fun. Coca-Cola, Coke Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. Independence Blue Cross, now more than ever, we're here for you every step of the way. Holiday Inn, look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your stay in Philadelphia. Kindred Healthcare, Kindred Hospitals,
dedicated to hope, healing, and recovery. PICO, we put our energy into you. For extended coverage of the preceding game, including a complete recap, video interviews, and final stats, log on to PennAthletics.com. This is the Penn Sports Network on 950 AM ESPN Philadelphia, a Nelligan Sports production.
And that ends our coverage of Penn's men's basketball. Coming up next is College Game Day on ESPN Radio. You're listening to 950 ESPN.
Facebook and Twitter. Two spots for you to stay connected with the Fanatic up to the second. Go to Facebook.com/975TheFanatic and follow us on Twitter at 975TheFanatic.
Play in the second half. Yeah, he's one of them. They gave up